What size your business, people don't take you seriously unless you have a professional-looking website. Create your own stunning website for free at Wix.com. That's W-I-X.com.
For your next direct flight to Orlando, take the hassle-free, low-fare, charter line free parking way to fly. Allegiant Airline at Mid-America Airport. Book your flight at FlyMidAmerica.com. Sponsored by the Tourism Bureau, Illinois South.
Without trees, 2x4s would be 0x0s. Did you know Missouri's forests support 42,000 jobs? Trees work. Visit treeswork.org to learn more. Brought to you by the Missouri Department of Conservation.
Hit the B Square. Yeah. Don't hit the B Square. Get in there and everywhere.
This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion of the show brought to you by Oric. Seven locally owned and operated Oric Home Centers. Great vacuums and more. Find out about all of them by going to the website, oreck.com, or one of those seven stores here in the St. Louis area. I'm Paul Harris. That's Dan Strauss. That's E on the Peon. And this is Mr. Joe Hipperson.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Joe's here every Friday to talk movies and showbiz and what's going on in the nightclubs around town. What have you seen this week?
Well, can I just go out of my... Just real quick, can I say one little thing?
Yes.
If you don't mind. It's a good thing.
Okay.
Okay? All week, I wait for Friday, all right? And it's nothing against Frank Opinion or anything like that. He's brilliant, right? I wait for Friday because every Friday I get an epic boys' night with my kids. And every Friday I get to come in here and do the show with you.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm done doing the show, I get to drive in terrible 270 traffic and listen to the Harris Challenge.
Oh.
And I've got to tell you, it is... I know I've... Off the air, I've kissed up to you over and over again about the Harris Challenge.
Okay? I appreciate it.
I have. But I play along. And let me tell you, everybody listening right now, if you're going to be listening in the 5 o'clock hour, please, go to Wikipedia. Do something. I'm telling you, if ever you see a guy who looks schizophrenic in his car, it's me screaming at all of you when you know, they're going up. I mean,
particularly if there's a movie category, I could see you in your car going crazy.
I start vibrating.
When somebody doesn't know the answer.
Yeah, and then I have actually tried to say, I wonder if I could disguise my voice.
Oh,
and call
no, don't do that.
I'm not going to do that. I would never hijack the Harris Challenge. Plus, I can't disguise my voice for anything. I really can't. I know I can't. So I just wanted to say, honestly, hanging out with you on Fridays, I wait all week for my Friday because it all, you know, it all just keeps getting better. We do our stuff together here, and then I listen to the brilliant Harris Challenge, even Knuckleheads in the News, although I like the Harris Challenge better. I'm not lying.
That's okay.
Then I get my kids, like, right after the second you sign off, I have my sons with me. It's brilliant.
That would be the biggest reason to look forward to Friday, so that you get to have a great night with the boys.
You stair-step.
Yeah.
See? Yeah.
That's terrific.
So speaking of boys, that's a weird way to start something, but speaking of boys, Ender's Game is the movie that I have checked out. You know anything about this?
I know it's kids in space.
Kids in space.
Literally everything I know about the movie.
Kids in space.
Was this based on a book?
Yes. It was based on a book. I believe the author's name is Clark. And there are multiple books. I will say this. I do pay attention when everybody starts to say, oh, wait a minute, look in between the lines of the book, Ender's Game. There's all this homophobia. There's homophobia everywhere. And this is it's legit, man. It was all over the place when this movie was in post-production. Are they going to do different kinds of edits? Well, first off, it's a movie based on a book. So if there's anything in the... It's a PC. Well, it's 2013. If there's any homophobia in the book... You really think they're going to let that out on the big screen in a Harrison Ford film in a movie that's being released in November? No, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked. I did. I looked for the homophobia. Couldn't see it anywhere. And by the way, what is homophobia on screen anyway? On film, and what would it be?
Well, I think you'll find out when that new Matthew McConaughey movie comes out.
Good point. And I bet you, like, watching the movie Milk, for example.
I saw him on, he was on Leno last night. Mm-hmm. Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah.
He lost like 48 pounds or something.
Really?
It doesn't even look like himself.
He's done that like three or four times for movies.
Where did he have 48 pounds he could lose?
I don't know. That's what he said. But
I mean, I could lose 48 pounds, but I
didn't. He basically became a hermit. He said he didn't go out because he didn't. And he wanted to look pale and everything because that guy that he's playing in that movie.
Dallas Buyers Club, is that the name of it?
Yeah.
Yes.
When is that coming to St. Louis? Do you know?
I think it opens.
It's limited right now.
Is it?
It's okay. Limited now. I believe I'm pretty darn sure we get it before Thanksgiving. But and what's interesting, remember the movie Mud?
Yes, which I liked a lot earlier this year.
Yes, and you look at that, Look at Matthew McConaughey maybe a year before Mud. Then you look at Mud, you can start to see the transition. Because he started to transition himself into a thinner version of himself for this role.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was a huge mistake for Martin Scorsese to cast him in the DiCaprio movie, the Wolf of Wall Street, or whatever that one is. Because he's got Matthew McConaughey in that film while he was also filming Dallas Buyers Club. Just looks a bit eerie.
How do these guys do that? 40 pounds, and they do it multiple times. You know, De Niro put on all that weight and then had to lose it when he did Jake LaMotta in Raging Bull. And a couple of other actors, you hear about these stories about how they trimmed down tremendously, and then they ballooned back up, and then they lost it again for another role. That can't be healthy.
Well, they have a, no, it can't be healthy, but he had a personal trainer, a nutritionist, and everything else helping him. So well,
Wait a minute. Okay, so I'm a hermit. I don't go anywhere. Except open the door for my personal trainer and my vitamin supplement delivery man.
Well, the hermit part is the...
Come on. I don't buy it for a second. They're a huge Hollywood star. They got millions invested in what they're doing. So what's going to happen? They show up at a doctor's office. He says, here, take this, this, and this. Go have a good time. I guarantee this is what it is.
I think it's also a little bit of forgetting what Hollywood is supposed to be really good at. You know, I understand the weight loss part. You actually have to do that, as Tom Hanks had to do for Castaway and some of the other people we're talking about here. But the I'm going to stay inside for a couple of months so I look pasty and withdrawn, that's what the makeup department is for.
Before you know it, you're Brando, and it's awkward, okay? And I'll tell you one thing. What I love is an actor who can be an actor. Kevin Spacey, case in point, American Beauty. In that movie, he's a bit of a schlub, would you say that? He's just, yeah, whatever. And then he starts working out, and he starts feeling better about himself, and he actually starts looking better, too. That entire film was shot out of sequence. The scenes where he was working out, those are like, you know, the very first scenes they filmed. I mean, it was all about his posture. He changed his posture, they changed the angles. To me, that's really acting. You don't have to worry about these crazy crash course diets and all this stuff. I'm so on a runaway train right now, and I apologize for that. So
that's okay. No, I'm just here's another example. Scarlett Johansson in that Don John movie that Joseph Gordon-Levitt did. We all know that in real life she looks like Melissa McCarthy. It's all makeup and costuming.
Yeah. Yes.
It's unbelievable how good she looked in that movie thanks to those departments.
Wow, that's something.
Cameron Diaz being John Malkovich. Then again, Cameron Diaz was only really hot in one movie for one scene, and that's where she was wearing the little boy panties and Charlie's Angels. She's jumping up and down. 2 seconds, I'm in for that.
Okay.
Other than that, not so much.
Fine.
She had the ugliest face in the world.
And that is our review of Ender's Game.
So Ender's Game takes place in the future. I'll do this real quick, okay? We're in sci-fi future land, hundreds of years into the future, and guess what? Earth has been attacked by an alien race.
I hate when that happens.
Now, the alien race look like a bunch of super ants. I was waiting, if you're a fan of Indiana Jones and you remember Crystal Skull, I kept waiting for Harrison Ford to say, big damn ants! But he never did. It would have been great if he had done that. But
Orson Scott Card is the author, by the way.
Card, not Clark. Okay.
Okay.
Yes. My friend sent me that. So.
Okay.
Well, thank you to your friend.
Yes.
So, in the future...
Wait, so, again, Earth is being attacked by an alien species that looks like ants?
Look like big, giant ants. Yeah, Starship Troopers. Okay? All right. And earlier this year, what did we have? We had Pacific Rim. Oh, those weren't aliens. They were from another dimension. But basically, they caused a huge ruckus on Earth, and we have to react. So, in Pacific Rim, what do? We get guys to jump in these giant robots and get a psychic connection and use the robots to fight the monsters. In this movie, you want to know what we do?
What?
We take advantage of the youth. What they do is they decide that they're going to fight the Formics. That's the name of the big giant ants. To fight the Formics, they get all the remaining youth on Earth. They put them in rooms, and they just start testing their brain because they want to find the smartest strategist out of every young kid and use that person to end the war by winning the war. And why would you choose a kid over an adult?
I hope all the adults are dead. That would be the only logical explanation.
No, the adults are alive, and they realize that children have decision-making skills that do not have empathy or reserve, just like an adult would. A child could play a video game if it looks like a video game, and have no problem whatsoever playing Grand Theft Auto when they really shouldn't be. And they're often people left and right.
If yeah, no comes, adults would do that sort of thing, Ian.
It's different, though. The adults realize that they're fighting a real war and that there might be human casualties to save the Earth. Think about it. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Maybe you bomb a country in order to get rid of all these giant ants. You kill the ants and you kill the people, but the other countries are still safe.
And kids are more likely to make that decision than adults are?
If it's presented to them like it's a video game. What's the name of this movie?
Ender's Game.
So, you get Harrison Ford, who I think is going to talk like this for the rest of his life.
Yeah, this is at least the fourth movie this year where he's Mr. Gravel voice there.
Yeah, and it's crazy. His name is Colonel Graff, and it just should have been Gruff. I don't know, just me. So Colonel Graff finds this kid named Ender Wiggins. He's like, this is it. This is the boy who's going to end the war. And he takes him up into the super space camp where it's kind of cool at first until you realize this movie gets darker than you could have ever imagined. There's a light switch, and they shut it off way too quick in this film because they're teaching children in the film, the actors. They're not going to do this to your kid personally. They're teaching kids to kill without a second thought. And they're teaching them to murder an entire race. Genocide, kind of. Mm-hmm. And they're teaching them to not really care about human casualties because it's looked at as a game. Note to the director, special effects department, whatever. You do these great space shots in this movie. There's these really cool scenes where it looks like you're on the bridge of the coolest spaceship ever. And then they show these other shots where they're kind of training the kids with video games that, I'm sorry, it reminded me of, you know, like Sega Genesis type graphics.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It was like I was watching the first Tron. I'm like, what the heck is going on? Because they'll go from that to this really cool shot. To me, they should have kept it real the whole time and had the really cool effects, even in the brainwashing games of the kids. You see kids freak out. You see kids deal with death. You see kids deal with the fact that they're being trained to kill. But does that mean that they should hurt each other? Because how is it any different if they hurt each other versus hurt people on a planet that they're so far away from because they're in space? And then out of nowhere, Ben Kingsley shows up with a Mike Tyson tattoo all what? Over his face.
What?
Yes, because he is the current strategist. Oh. And apparently Ben Kingsley's the smartest man in the world. So he gets Ender, and he's going to train Ender to be just like him. Hopefully not tatted up, but he trains Ender to end the game. Ender's game is the way to save the world. The ending.
Wow. You have just spent 7 minutes describing a movie that you could not get me to go see with a gun to my head.
All right, you got Ben Kingsley.
Unless it's a kid holding the gun, of course, in which case I'm going to have to go or it'll kill me.
Yeah. Ben Kingsley plays Mike Tyson. You've got Harrison Ford as Harrison Ford.
Now, let me ask you about him, because we're kind of making fun of him using that gruff voice that he's been using since Morning Glory. I think that was the first time he tried to do it in a romantic comedy. Didn't make sense in that at all. Are we pretty much done with Harrison Ford? I mean,
I really hope not. I really, really, really hope not. But even in interviews, yeah.
He's giving that gruff answer.
Yeah, yes, he does that. Yeah,
that's
does.
The voice. The only voice he has now.
Oh,
they're already working on the sequel to that movie.
Another Star Wars
where
question.
We're invaded by uncles this time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have waited a minute for that one, personally. The kid who plays Ender is Asa Butterfield. If you want to know who Asa Butterfield is, you saw him in the movie Hugo, even though he really wasn't there. He was there. It was like all that, you know, animation capture. Ender's Game is for your young boys around the age of, I would go 12 to 14, maybe 15. That is the only audience for this movie. Because it gets dark enough for them to be like, oh my gosh. But it doesn't get dark enough for the grown-ups to be like, oh, actually it does. It gets dark enough for the grown-ups to be like, oh God, that's what they're going to do. This is not a movie for girls, even though there are girls in it. This is not the Hunger Games. It's basically trying to be the Hunger Games in space. It's not. It's a 4 out of 10. It's good to see Harrison Ford in a sci-fi movie. I hate seeing him as a supporting character who just pops up every once in a while to be like, hi, I was Han Solo. Oh, all the geeks get excited.
Yeah.
Nothing like Han Solo in this movie. And Ben Kingsley, I'm sorry, the Mike Tyson tattoo is so distracting. It just is. Every time I see him, I see Gandhi anyway, so it's just weird. Because this tattoo is like the color of Gandhi's skin, and it's all over his face. So he just looks like a really old Gandhi, which mm-hmm. is just very distracting. So 4 out of 10, Ender's Game, PG-13, not worth your time or your dime.
Okay. The other movie that's coming out today, which may get a few dollars at the box office, is Last Vegas, which you told us about 6 months ago.
I've been stoked about it. I wish I would have saw that instead of this.
Nah.
Did you have a chance?
I did go see it on Wednesday night.
And?
This is Robert De Niro, Michael Douglas, Morgan Freeman, Kevin Kline, Mary Steenburgen. 5 Academy Award winners in one movie. The movie is essentially The Hangover.
Nice.
Hangover meets Bucket List, if you will.
I like Hangover.
Because Michael Douglas's character, who's about to turn 70 years old, proposes to his 31-year-old living girlfriend.
Well, so far there's nothing wrong with that.
No. Sounds good so far.
His friends, Morgan Freeman and Kevin Kline, decide, since he's going to get married in Las Vegas, they're going to go out to Vegas a couple of days ahead of time and have a bachelor party for him. And they're also going to get the fourth member of this group that they had since they were 10 years old. They've known these guys, each other. 60 years they've known each other. But there was a falling out between Michael Douglas and Robert De Niro. But Freeman and Klein go and get De Niro and convince him to come to Vegas as well. And they all have a weekend in which you could pretty much guess every single thing that happens.
Please tell me there's not a Viagra joke.
Of course. There's a Viagra joke in the first 6 minutes.
Are you serious? Wait, remember the stand-up guys? Maybe we've talked about this in the old guys in movies. They do the same cliches.
The tough guys with Kirk Douglas and Burt Lancaster 25 years ago with, by the way, I think Dana Carvey, was exactly like this. We don't know quite what to do with these guys once they get to this age, but we're going to try to put them into a movie that is based on other popular movies, and that's what this is. And they go to Vegas, and they have all the requisite adventures. I mentioned that Mary Steenburgen is in this. She plays a Vegas lounge singer, former tax attorney turned lounge singer, who is working at Binion's Horseshoe, which is in downtown Las Vegas, which has been a dump since it was built.
Yeah.
And it's recently been rebuilt and it's still a dump. And she's working there during the day.
Ooh.
That gives you an idea of how much a star you are in Las Vegas. You're working the Binion's Lounge in the afternoon.
And yeah, that's the skank shift.
There's nobody in there, but of course these guys walk in, they see her, she's 60 years old, they're 70 years old, and they're all, wow. Now, I will say this, Mary Steenburgen always has been, to me, and still is, a very attractive woman.
She's always looked the same. You look at her in Back to the Future 3, you look at her in the trailer for the movie you're talking about.
You go back to Melvin and Howard, which is, I think, what she won her Academy Award for, and she looks almost exactly the same. Just aged, but the rest of her, the same hair, the same body, the same face, everything. She is the only highlight of this movie because of the way it's written and the way she delivers her lines. She's the one who kind of keeps these guys in line. The rest of the movie, however, is so cliched with they go to a nightclub at Aria, big hotel there, and the only way they can get past the huge line is to get bottle service. And there's a big, black, burly security guard at the door deciding who gets in, who doesn't get in. And he says, the only way you're getting in here is bottle service. And they say, well, how much is bottle service? And the guy says, 18. So, of course, they reach in and they take out a 10, a 5, and 3 ones.
Wow.
And he goes, no, 1,800. They're like, 1,800?
You know, that was
How many bottles did we get for that? One bottle.
No, you see, Lethal Weapon, Mel Gibson buying the Coke. That was funny in 1987. Remember what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Where he's undercover?
Yes.
That's the first time I've seen that joke happen. What's about 30 years later, they're still doing
It's exactly like that. There are a lot of young, attractive, nubile young ladies because it's Vegas. You see them in the four guys get to judge a bikini contest at the pool at the Aria.
Yeah, that
how?
Makes sense.
Why?
Sense, yeah.
I don't know, but we get a few minutes of that. There's some flesh on display in this movie. Fortunately, none of it is from these four 70-year-old actors. I actually think some of them are older than 70. Morgan Freeman's got to be like 75, 76 right?
76 or 78.
Okay. So they're all fine. Here's the thing about the movie. You can't really complain about those actors, except that Robert De Niro has been walking through movies for over a decade. Michael Douglas hasn't made any good movies lately. Morgan Freeman is always just playing Morgan Freeman. Kevin Kline is actually okay in this movie. But if Mary Steenburgen weren't in it for some, I don't know, humanity sake, it would have been an absolute waste of time. Now, that said,
okay,
I saw this in a theater full of people at a screening Wednesday night. A lot of people were laughing at the supposed jokes in this movie, the lighthearted moments in the movie.
The supposed jokes.
Well, I saw them coming a mile away. There's not a moment, Joe, you go to a lot of movies.
Yeah.
There's not a moment in this movie that you can't predict 10 minutes before it happens.
So
every single thing that happens in the movie, you can see coming down the highway.
All right, I'm a guy right now driving in the car, listening to this, loving the review, and I'm wanting to know, okay, did I see all the, you know, did I see all the jokes in the trailer, or there's some, even if you can see them coming, are there jokes that were not in the trailers that were decent to get a crowd laughing?
I'll be honest with you, I didn't see the trailer, so I can't answer the question. But I'm gonna predict, no, there's nothing in this movie that's not in the trailer.
I saw the trailer. I remember backing it up over and over again during a scene where Morgan Freeman is experiencing drinking with Red Bull. I remember laughing hysterically in that trailer at that moment and backing it up and backing it up and backing it up. Does it stand up in the movie?
It's in the middle of the scene where they go to the nightclub, and it's followed by and preceded by other stuff that makes no sense whatsoever and is just in there to put cheap, stupid situations around these guys. So I did not find that amusing, but because of the context it was in. It may have been funny in the trailer because it didn't have that context.
I got you. So basically what you're doing here is you're watching, it doesn't matter what any of these characters' names are. You're watching the actors,
right,
okay, play fun at their own age. Because in reality, you get four guys that are, let's say they're all 70. Four 70-year-old guys. And let's not even go to Vegas. Let's just go to a St. Louis casino. Could four 70-year-old guys really pull any weight whatsoever, if not skeeze out every single woman under the age of 50?
No.
Exactly.
Now, if you want to see an interesting movie about old guys who have to go to Vegas and have some fun, there was a movie that was made, I can't even remember how old it was, 30-plus years ago, called Going in Style, which is, at the time was George Burns, Lee Strasberg, and Art Carney. Now, you hear that and you go, wow, that's a completely different generation of performers. Yes, it absolutely was. And they are three guys who are way over 70. I think that in the movie they're supposed to be between 75 and 85, and life is pretty much over for them. Their entire life is they all live together in an apartment, and their entire life is they wake up in the morning, they have their toast and tea, and then they go and they sit in the park on a bench, and they're bored with life, and they decide, okay, we've got to do something different here. And so they decide to rob a bank. And the bank robbery is funny. And then afterwards, two of them, Carney and Burns, they decide they're going to go to Las Vegas with some of the money that they have and have some fun out there. And they do. But it's not the same stupid kind of fun you see in this. They don't pick up a 26-year-old woman and go to the room, and now she's invited all of her friends to go because the old men are so charming. That's what happens in this movie, Las Vegas.
Come on.
But it does not happen in the original.
No, look, when they were filming this, they were doing the Liberace thing. I've seen stills from the movie. Michael Douglas still kind of looks like Liberace in this movie. No chicks are going to bring their friends up for that kind of a party.
But the thing about Going in Style was it was funny and had some humanity to it, and you really felt for these guys and their situation as senior citizens who really were just kind of living out the last years of their life, and they were bored. In this movie, you have a movie that was only put together because of the package of getting these actors together and putting them in Vegas and saying, okay, it's The Hangover for 70-year-olds.
That's exactly what you're describing.
Yeah.
And I bet you every single sight gag and everything is all derived from exactly what's happening in pop culture now, which means this movie will have no relevance 5 years from now.
Correct.
Which blows.
I don't think this movie has relevance now, let alone 5 years from now. I'm giving this one a 4. It's right up there with Ender's Game on this show.
So we got 2 4s today.
Yes, we do.
Man.
Now, I will also predict that the general movie-going public will completely negate what we've said here today, and that both Ender's Game and Las Vegas will do big box office this weekend.
There's always that possibility, but Ender's Game is a very difficult sell. It's hard to really figure out what the heck is going on. Even in the trailers, I can't think of a single... I mean, I got two kids, 7 and 13. They've seen the trailers, because I'm a film junkie, and I show them the movie trailers all the time. Neither one of my kids have said, well, we gotta see that. They both looked at me and said, what the heck is this? Well, it looks weird. That's all they've said. In fact, they've laughed at the Morgan Freeman drunk scene in the Las Vegas trailer.
Do you think that Las Vegas wins the box office this weekend?
I think it beats out Ender's Game, but I don't think do you think it could take the top spot? Because right now, the top spot's almost untouchable,
It's Bad Grandpa.
Right.
That was number one last weekend. Is that going to beat these two at the box office?
No, Las Vegas takes the cake. I give Las Vegas a win at the box office by at least $5
million. Okay, then you got to figure out what's next in the four guys go to Vegas trend.
Oh, I already got that figured out.
Well, I mean, we started with middle-aged guys in The Hangover.
They're going to reinvent the wheel, so they say. You give it about 15 years from now, and we will have a reunion Ocean's 11-style movie.
Why do we have to wait 15 years for that?
Because they'll be older. They'll be 65, 70s. I mean, I'm just saying. You know, it might happen.
Speaking of people who are up there in age, I thank Frank Ladd, who produces McGraw in the Morning here on KTRS. He found this story on Vulture.com. It's a story about when you think back to certain movies and you think, wow, that guy was really old. For instance, Wilford Brimley in the movie Cocoon, played the kindly grandfather in Cocoon. George Clooney is a year older now at 52 than Wilford Brimley was when he did Cocoon.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wilford Brimley always played the old guy, and he was way younger than what he was portraying.
Yeah, everybody thought he was.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, here's a quick one. I don't know what's on the cheat sheet. Chris Rock right now is older than Danny Glover was when he did the first Lethal Weapon.
Wow.
Because Danny Glover was nowhere near the age he was portraying, but everybody just believed it. So right now, Chris Rock is older. Right now, Chris Rock is at Lethal Weapon 2 age for Danny Glover, basically.
Demi Moore is the same age Rue McClanahan was when she started the Golden Girls.
What?
She's 51 years old.
Oh, man.
Tom Cruise is also 51. He's the same age Tommy Lee Jones was with the first Men in Black.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Wait a minute. That's impossible.
Your hero, Bruce Willis, 58,
yeah,
is a year younger than Spencer Tracy when he did The Old Man and the Sea.
Oh, my God.
Denzel Washington, this one blew me away. When I read this, I said, that cannot be true, and I went and I double-checked that this is true. Denzel Washington is 1 year younger than Andy Griffith was when Matlock began.
No way, there's no way. Are you Matlock.
Denzel Washington is 59. Andy Griffith was 60 when he started doing Matlock.
Denzel Washington is 59 years old. 59.
Samuel L. Jackson is 2 years younger now than Jack Lemmon was when Grumpy Old Men was released.
Oh, wow. He's 2 years away?
2 years away from Grumpy Old Men age. He's 65.
Okay, what vitamins do they take? Where are the creams? Because I need to get my hands on this stuff.
Daniel Day-Lewis is the same age now that Walter Matthau was when the Bad News Bears was released.
Well, you know what, though? Daniel Day-Lewis doesn't count. He's not a human being. He's not. He's a chameleon hybrid.
Julianne Moore is 2 years older than Gloria Swanson was when she appeared in Sunset Boulevard. I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille. Julianne Moore is 2 years older than that.
Wow.
And here's the one that, well, your hero is involved in.
Uh-oh.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
This is going to blow you away because you have the connection to Harrison Ford and this movie. Harrison Ford is 2 years older than Burgess Meredith in Rocky.
Oh, my goodness.
Whoa. Okay, Burgess Meredith. Mick, the trainer in Rocky. In Rocky.
Yes.
You're telling me that Stallone right now is 2 years. What?
No, not Stallone. Harrison Ford.
No, okay. What's
Burgess Meredith was 69 when he made Rocky. Harrison Ford is 71.
What?
Wow.
Well, that's right. Yeah, no kidding. If they're going to do a reboot, now's the time. Just get Stallone. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And if you really want to feel old, Kim Cattrall, who was the sex pot on Sex and the City.
Says you.
I put that in quotes. I did air quotes. You couldn't see
him.
She is 1 year older now than Olympia Dukakis was when Moonstruck was released.
You.
Cher's mother in Moonstruck. Kim Cattrall is older than that.
I can't lie on the radio. The Kim Cattrall one's the only one that I don't find shocking. She's always, to me, just looked kind of old. And her body has really started to kind of change up. Kind of looks like a big potato sack in a dress.
The one that really got me was Denzel Washington was a year older than Andy Griffith was when Matlock started.
That's amazing.
Well, yeah, no, it's amazing. But no, Han Solo right now is 2 years older than Mick. Okay, that's jacked up. That's so jacked up.
We got to take a break. We're back with more in a moment on the Big 550 KTRS.
Going to look at the traffic now and see how it looks airborne. Here's Tim Weiland.
Well, Dan, they've just cleared an accident that was on eastbound 40 just before Big Bend, or excuse me, before Hampton. Had lane blockage, saw the fire engine and ambulance just pull away. Now, you do have a slowdown that goes from about 170 through the Tam overpass before Hampton. Then things open up. Now, westbound 40, the driver's slowing down to take a look at that. You are running heavy from Kings Highway through the Tam overpass. Then you start slowing again from about Clayton Warson, Lindbergh area, all the way out through Mason. On the downtown bridge approaches eastbound 40 was slowing Union Station to the Poplar Street Bridge. Northbound 55, that was at Park. We have just normal slowdowns now on southbound 270 between Manchester and Doherty Ferry. And this traffic report is brought to you by Walmart. Winter's almost here, and Walmart can help you protect your car with low prices on antifreeze. They have 1 gallon jugs of Prestone 50/50 pre-diluted antifreeze for just $10.47. Save money, live better, Walmart. With your Golden Oak Lending Airborne traffic, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, Kelly Jackson here. You may know my face from Channel 5, but now you'll get to know my voice on KCRS. I'm joining McGraw Live in the morning. I'll essentially be updating you with news and information, but I have a feeling it'll be more than that, since I'll apparently be the only adult in the room. This could get interesting. So check out McGraw Live in the morning, weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, this is John Shea, Mr. Fix-It, with some good news for our listeners. How many of you listening have an old TV or bulky entertainment center taking up valuable space in your home? Well, then you need to call Pitchit at 314-932-1100 and take advantage of their excellent service, as many of our listeners have. Pitchit provides a residential commercial junk removal service with very affordable rates. Their friendly staff at Pitchit will arrive at your location, remove your unwanted items, and you don't even have to lift a finger. They'll remove the item from your basement, your attic, anywhere they're located, and then clean up after themselves. Pitchit will provide free estimates. They'll visit your location on your schedule, not theirs, and provide you with a quote on the spot. Pitchit is an eco-friendly recycling most items within reason, and of course they are fully insured. So give them a call at 314-932-1100. That's 314-932-1100. Or visit their website at pitchitandforgetit.com. That's pitchitandforgetit.com. Senior discount supply.
Vacation, our most valuable time. As time goes by and we look back, it's the vacation adventures that bring family memories and the common focus. And what better way to create those memories than to experience the real America in an RV? It's the journey, not the destination, that brings the family together. Hello, I'm Russ Patton. For over 50 years, Byerly has been outfitting families for RV travel. From camping trailers to motorhomes, Byerly in Eureka is the place to come. Acres of RVs, the area's largest parts store, and service bays that reach to the sky. Byerly promises the highest value for the lowest price.
For the rest of your life.
Byerly, just 15 minutes west of I-270 on I-44 in Eureka.
The smartest way to do your homework is Heckman Lumber.
Fall means homework for homeowners. If your homework includes a new deck in your future, turn to the decking experts at Hackman Lumber. Hackman's is Missouri's largest dealer of in-stock decking, railing, lighting, and decking accessories. Hackman stocks treated lumber, cedar, TimberTech, Evergreen, Azek, Trex, and Fiberon. They have endless choices of railing systems and LED deck lighting that will make your backyard the envy of the neighborhood. Hackman's Decking Center is second to none. They can help plan your deck and answer all of your questions. Hackman's can also recommend reputable contractors to build that deck of your dreams. Hackman's will not be undersold on in-stock decking materials guaranteed. If you're looking for a new grill, Hackman's features the Big Green Egg with a large array of egg accessories. That's Hackman Lumber and Home Centers, located at 3030 South St. Peter's Parkway in St. Charles, 390 East Wood Street in Troy, and HackmanSTL.com.
The smartest way to do your homework is Hackman Lumber.
Do you know somebody suffering from alcohol or drug dependency? Maybe you are. Maybe you failed numerous times at a rehab facility. Now it's time to try something totally different. I'm talking about my friends at ARCA, the Assisted Recovery Centers of America. They use a drug that you've probably never heard of. It's called naltrexone, and it's a non-addictive anti-craving medication. Let me say that again. It will block the cravings, and it is non-addictive. So therefore, you can be treated at ARCA and go back to work within 24 to 48 hours. It's a miracle drug, and people don't know about it, and people won't tell you about it. Unless you hear it from here or hear it from ARCA, you might not know about it. ARCA, 314-645-6840. The people who have gone through the treatment say it is amazing. Call and ask ARCA about naltrexone, 314-645-6840 to find out more, arcamidwest.com. But you've tried the others, now try ARCA, 314-645-6840 or arcamidwest.com.
In life, you seldom get the chance for a do-over, but that's not true when it comes to your supplemental coverage to Medicare. Imagine having a plan where you can keep your own doctor, have your gym membership paid for, and pay no additional premiums over your Medicare Part B. That's called Medicare Advantage. This is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. Take advantage of your opportunity today. Call me at 314-863-0008 for a free Medicare comparison. 314-863-0008.
Hi, everybody. Terry Hall here. This Saturday, This Week in Real Estate from 2 to 4 p.m. That's right, This Week in Real Estate this Saturday from 2 to 4 in the afternoon, right before the Tigers game. We're going to discuss buying foreclosures, short sales, and buying property from banks before they go on the market. Additionally, I'm going to teach you how to help your children get their first home for less than $1,000 out of pocket. Of course, we'll discuss whatever you want to. That's This Week in Real Estate this Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris, Eon the Peon, Dan Strauss, and Joe Hipperson's here. We're talking about movies and showbiz stuff. You got a couple of stories before we get to the nightclubs?
I got a quickie here from director Ridley Scott. I don't know how you feel about Prometheus. I know you're not a big sci-fi guy. Did you see Prometheus?
There was a movie called Prometheus?
Obviously, that answers my question. That would be the Alien prequel that wasn't really a prequel because it took place in the same world, but nowhere
near. Alien had a prequel?
Yeah, called Prometheus. Where have you been?
No, I know there were three Alien movies with Sigourney Weaver.
Four.
They did the prequel after all the three, right?
Yeah, Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, and Alien Resurrection.
Okay.
And then they did Alien vs. Predator, Aliens vs. Predator. Those were ridiculous. And then Prometheus, where they did the original Giger design work, and everybody thought, oh, we're going to go to that one planet where they found the eggs, and we're going to find out, how did the eggs get there? Nope, we didn't. We went to a different planet. I don't know. Did anybody see this?
No.
So it had no linear connection to the rest of the movies?
The connection was we learned who created life on Earth. Apparently, the same people that created the xenomorph alien monster that comes out the chest are the same people that created life here on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
So there are gods, apparently.
Yeah, Lucasfilm.
Look, Prometheus is getting a sequel. Now, this part I don't get. The script is done. Ridley Scott, the director, has confirmed that the script is done, but he will not start filming it until 2016. We were just talking about people who are certain ages. Do you know on November 30th, Ridley Scott turned 77? Okay, and he's forecasting, we got the script. It's good. It'll probably make millions of box office. I'm going to wait 2 years. You're 77. Don't wait 2 years. Do it. He's Ridley Scott. He created this amazing used university, stole basically from George Lucas, when he made Alien. And he made a great film when he made Alien. He did a misfire with Prometheus, which means he can make up for it in the sequel. Just do it now. Why is he not going to do it? Because he's got to get Exodus out next year. Exodus is his next movie, starring Christian Bale. Guess who Christian Bale's playing?
Moses?
Yes! Christian Bale, Batman, is going to be Moses. And here's the thing that I don't
get. Let my people go.
Yeah. Let them go. No, that was the Harrison Ford version, actually. So, sorry.
He's also, by the way, I think the reason Ridley Scott is saying, well, I'm 77 years old, he still has three more years before he appears in Las Vegas 2.
That's a good point. Well, he might be directing Las Vegas with a cameo. Here's the thing I don't get. He's going to do a biblical movie about Moses, starring Christian Bale, and I can't wait for the mashups where you have set footage and then you have the rant of Christian Bale screaming at people on set, and you have him dressed as Moses.
Where's your Batman now?
Whoever does a mashup of that, I will applaud. In an interview with Esquire magazine, Ridley Scott, let me remind you again, Ridley Scott, next year you're going to see Exodus, the Moses movie starring Batman, directed by Ridley Scott, who told Esquire magazine, and I'm quoting here, "Religion is the biggest source of evil." Now, if the director says that religion is the biggest source of evil, he's going to do a movie on Moses. Does that make any sense to you whatsoever?
Well, it doesn't seem like it'll be good PR for the movie.
I doubt it. Yeah. But there also, of course, don't forget, there's Noah. There's the Noah movie where Russell Crowe plays Noah. It's like Armageddon Deep Impact. We're going to get hit in the next year with these two big, giant biblical movies. Mm-hmm. We don't need it. We got Charlton Heston. We have Charlton Heston saying, "Let my people go." You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Standing out there with his big, giant chest hair and everything else. It's brilliant. So Prometheus 2 expects it to be filming in 2016, and maybe you'll see it in 2017, and then maybe in 2018 we'll get the Blade Runner sequel starring Harrison Ford as a 95-year-old replicant, or maybe he's not a replicant. Maybe he's going to, oh, God help us if he does voiceover on the sequel to Blade Runner.
She was a robot.
Damn it.
All right. One quick showbiz story I have to share with you. Everybody loves the movie A Christmas Story.
Not me.
Wait, you don't?
I hate that movie. I really do.
Get out.
What are you doing?
Get out of the studio.
Are you really kicking me on?
No.
I'm an It's a Wonderful Life man. There's two sides to every coin. It's a Wonderful Life or A Christmas Story.
I'm with Joe on this one.
Like both.
I like It's a Wonderful Life well.
Wait a second.
A Christmas
Why do you have
story?
To choose? Why can't you enjoy both?
No, you don't.
Of them?
I enjoy both of them.
Look at you guys and your shades of gray. It's black or it's white, okay? No, it's up or it's down.
I enjoy both of them, but if I had the choice, I would take It's a Wonderful
right.
Life.
The Sophie's Choice.
Story.
The Sophie's Choice
it's
of Christmas.
It's not a Sophie's Choice.
Nobody's asking to choose.
I am. I'm asking you to choose right now. What side are you on?
Hipster. Hipster response.
By the way, if we're talking about wonderful holiday classics, I was hoping that Love Actually would get in there. Because I think that's terrific. But I'm going to talk about that next week because the guy who wrote and directed that has a new movie out, which comes to St. Louis next Friday, which I'll talk about then. But A Christmas Story, which I loved because I grew up listening to Gene Shepherd telling his stories on the radio and reading his books like Wanda Hickey's Night of Golden Memories and In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash, which was the basis of the stories that became A Christmas Story. In the movie A Christmas Story, there's a scene where one of the kids named Flick is double dog dared by his friends to put his tongue on the flagpole at school when it is freezing cold outside. And, of course, his tongue sticks to the flagpole.
I remember that.
On Tuesday in Hammond, Indiana, a suburb of Chicago, they unveiled a statue of Flick with his tongue stuck to a flagpole. And the guy who played Flick as a boy when he was 14 years old, Scott Schwartz, who's now 44 years old, was there for the unveiling of this.
Is there a big giant thing or a warning, or are we going to get stories of parents outraged that this is going to encourage kids to put their tongues on poles?
I predict that before the end of the year, we have exactly what you just described.
Of course.
And by the way, Hammond, Indiana, I was just there last week. There was a poker tournament. I talked about it on the show last week. I was up there playing. Hammond, Indiana is not exactly the garden spot of America. It's an industrial wasteland attached to a ghetto. There is no reason for anybody to be going there to see the Flick frozen tongue flagpole statue.
So it's kind of like driving past Graceland, where for 2 seconds it's beautiful, and then you're past Graceland. And
no, there are parts of Memphis that are absolutely wonderful.
You drive down the street to see Graceland, and I'm telling you, man, after you pass Graceland, it gets dodgy.
But you can go to downtown Memphis, as I did just a few weeks ago with my wife, and have a wonderful time there. You can't do that in Hammond unless you're going to the casino that I was in. There is nothing else there.
I can't wait till we can have our Christmas movie debate. I got a couple of clubs, couple of shows. I'm going to bang them out super quick.
Good.
All right, here we go. Starting tonight, Schism is at the Pageant, the Thin Dimes at Off-Broadway, Black Spade at the Gramophone, A Promise to Burn at FUBAR, the Night Grinders at the Lemp Arts Center, Rats and People Motion Picture Orchestra are playing at the Heavy Anchor, Funky Butt Brass Band at Broadway Oyster Bar. On Saturday, Unsolved Homicide over at Pops, XXYYXX playing at 2720 Cherokee, Black Panties on stage at Off-Broadway, Smooth Talking Perverts over at the Demo, Indicator at Lemons, and the Stone Sugar Shakedown over at the Shanty. And last but not least, everybody's favorite game. I've got 5 concerts. 5. 4 are absolutely real. 1 completely made up by me. Are we ready to play, Paul?
Yes.
Here we go. Cowboy Indian Bear, Friday at the Demo. Bug Chaser, Saturday Off-Broadway. Space Walrus, Saturday at the Demo. Vampire Moose, Saturday Mad Magician. Dragon Queen, Saturday at Lemons.
Wow. I think this is the hardest week we've had in a long time.
It is. That's
time.
What do you think, Dan? I'm going to go Dragon Queen.
Cowboy Indian Bear.
Space Walrus.
And Dan Strauss proves that he is the smartest in the house, with Dragon Queen being the fake band name. So there you go. Dragon Queen is your fake one. Steal it if you want to. Just give me credit in the liner notes. I'm Joe Hipperson. I'm out for the Big 550 KTRS Hip on Entertainment.
Thank you, Joe. Brought to you by Oreck, 7 locally owned and operated stores and online at OREC.com.
Get a look at traffic now. Here's Tim Weiland, Airborne.
Well, as I was flying out west over Highway 40 on eastbound 40, just between Mason and 270, there was a car that was starting to stall out. MoDOT got it off to the left shoulder, but they have the left lane partially blocked. So you're backing up, I'd say between 141 and Mason up through where the stall is. Westbound 40, I told you were heavy from Clayton-Warson all the way out through Mason. You're slow Clarkson to the Boone Bridge and then approaching 94 to almost Wing Hill. On westbound 70, slowing traffic between Zumbel and Cave Springs out through Mid Rivers Mall Drive. 270 southbound really is not that bad. It's moving pretty well from Manchester down through Doherty Ferry. Eastbound 270 does slow east of McDonald through New Florissant. This traffic report brought to you by Walmart. Winter's almost here, and Walmart can help you protect your car with low prices on antifreeze. They have 1 gallon jugs of Prestone 50/50 pre-diluted antifreeze for just $10.47. Save money, live better, Walmart. With your Golden Oak Lending Airborne traffic, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Mizzou is hot. And they're here on KTRS. Tomorrow, the Tennessee Volunteers come to Columbia to take on our ninth-ranked Mizzou Tigers.
I'm Mike Kelly, the voice of the Tigers. For the third straight Saturday, Mizzou's football team will play at Faurot Field as Butch Jones and the Tennessee Volunteers come to town.
Coverage begins at 4 p.m. Kickoff is at 6. Tomorrow, get every pass, every play right here
on the Big 550 KTRS.
Live from downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland, along with Bruce Limpert and the All-Boy Orchestra. Brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456. And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, everybody. Happy November 1st. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm still writing 2012 on my checks.
No problem with that. Well, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are engaged. It was pretty romantic. I don't know if you heard about it or not. He got down on one knee and said, I'm ready to be a regular on your reality show. Beautiful. And yesterday, a New Hampshire elementary school officially banned kids from playing tag. They say it's all about safety. Thankfully, the kids were too busy going door-to-door and eating candy from total strangers to even notice.
Yeah, by the way, how'd you like to be the last kid to be it?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean the game's over?
Yeah.
I mean, forever?
I had one trick-or-treater last night. This was cute. He wore his costume backward to face the wrong way on the porch and had a hole in his bag. And I said, well, who are you supposed to be? He said, I'm the contractor that designed the Obamacare website. And finally, this afternoon, yeah, of all the costumes last night, the most annoying was the Ted Cruz. Yeah, a kid dressed in a Ted Cruz costume. He said, trick or treat, and then proceeded to deliver an 18-hour speech. Still out there, actually. The Bill Cleveland segment brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM Cab Company, and from downtown St. Louis, I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KTRS.
All right, thank you, Bill.
See ya.
Well, we have Bill with the trivia show 9 to midnight every Saturday here on the Big 550 KTRS. Coming up right after the 5 o'clock news, which will give you updates on the problems at LAX today with the gunman. I'll be back with the Harris Challenge, Mike Evans, and Knuckleheads in the News, all on the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis.